Week, I was excited about going into this particular text because it's an important text. I like talking about heaven. And he begins in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Jesus is addressing one of the most difficult temptations that we as believers are confronted with, and that's materialism, especially in the age that we live in. We live in a time where, first of all, humans by nature, whether regardless of what age you're born into, humans by nature are attracted to things, possessions. As it just comes seeking and acquiring and hoarding things just comes easy to us. We like shiny stuff, so to speak. But we live in today's society. We live in a time and an environment that where there's just great prosperity. We know that. There's excessive easy credit that's available to folks. And then there's an abundance of handouts in our culture. And so with that, it cultivates materialism. It really lends to you and I getting caught up or sucked into the sins that are attached with wanting more and more and more. John Stott made this statement: "Worldly ambition has a strong fascination for us. The spell of materialism is very hard to break." And I think that's an understatement. It doesn't matter who you are, it's easy to get obsessed with things. And so Jesus deals with that subject. In verse 19, he says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth." The phrase "lay not up" carries the idea of stacking up or stockpiling, okay? It kind of paints a picture of just accumulating more stuff. And what's not being said here, Jesus is not saying that we have to do without. He's not saying that we have to take a vow of poverty. Far from it. Actually, when you look through the scripture and you Old Testament and New Testament, there's many examples of God's people having material possessions, a great deal of material possessions in some cases, money, houses, animals, clothing, land. All of these are all things that you find in the scripture that were owned by believers throughout the ages. As long as we come by those things honestly, and of course our motivation has to be right, we're free to have these things ourselves. We're free to have homes. We're free to have even some luxuries. But you think about Abraham. Abraham was very wealthy. When you read about him, he was a very spiritual man, but it was also he was a very wealthy man. He had a handle on it. See, and so he was the father of Israel. I mean, he's the great patriarch, held in high esteem by all. But it was because he managed his wealth in such a way that it didn't manage him. Job. When you read about Job, he had a vast amount of wealth, but yet God basically bragged on him to Satan. God was pleased with what he was seeing with Job's life, but now we know that it was all taken away during this time of testing. And then you also remember when all of that was over and the testing was over, it was restored to him by God. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than it did the beginning. God gave him even more. And so God would not have done that if possessions were wrong. God would not have restored Job. He would not have allowed Abraham to be prosperous if it was wrong. So certainly we know that it's not prosperity that causes us to sin. It's, of course, the Bible says love of money is the root of all evil. So it's when we get out of balance. The key word, the warning here that Jesus gives can really be understood by one key word that nails it. He says, lay not up for yourselves. See, that's the key word in this text. When what we are doing is with the intent to only help ourselves or please ourselves, that's when it becomes a problem. Things can easily become idols to you and I. And if we let them, in cars, houses, toys, recreation, even clothes, things like that can be kind of placed on the throne of our heart, if you will, and that's when we start getting in trouble. And it can, when these things become the driving force of our life, then that's when things begin to get out of line. So also oftentimes when we start getting focused on prosperity or material things, we tend to neglect the most important things in our life, the things that are important to God, the things that, as being servants of the Lord, that He wants to find in our life. First of all, God expects us to give. He expects us to give to His work in a biblical manner. He expects us to tithe. He expects us to give offerings beyond the tithe. He also expects us, beyond that giving, He expects us to have generous hearts in dealing with people and in helping people. He looks for that in us. And then, of course, I believe God expects us to make a reasonable amount of preparation for our futures. There's nowhere in Scripture that you find that we're supposed to live from hand to mouth all our life and till we get to grave. We should use wisdom and plan for our futures and in a way of having some sort of retirement or some sort of plan, if you will. It doesn't have to be retirement necessarily. If you got great kids, I guess you don't have to worry about retirement. But I don't think I'm going to take that chance. Also, saving, those things are important, but also something else that can become neglected or not handled well, if you will, is taking care of our families. When we get caught up in materialism, it's easy to, I want this, I want that, and not take proper care of the families that God has put given us as a stewardship. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We're to take care of the families that God has given us, and oftentimes those things can be neglected or it may be abandoned altogether by some people because of materialism. How many people do you know that have drive new vehicles but don't give to God's work? Or maybe you don't know, but there are people that do that. People that have a lot of toys and play all the time but don't have any idea what they're going to do when they hit retirement age. Many people spend a lot of time in travel and recreation but don't take good care of their children and these sort of things. And so it's a matter of appropriating. It's a matter of appropriating the treasures that God has put in our care and having the proper priorities. And so that's what this instruction is all about, how we lay up. We can lay up here on earth, as verse 19 warns against, or we can lay up in heaven. And he says, if you lay up on earth, the moth and rust doth corrupt, and the thieves break through and steal. If you lay up in heaven, neither of those, none of those will take place. And so let me explain a little bit about what he's speaking of here with moth and rust corrupting. In ancient times, clothing was far different. Clothing was very precious. Clothes were not mass produced as they are in our age. You and I, probably all of us, have a closet packed full of clothes that didn't cost much in the big scheme of things. But in those days, there was no mass producing of clothing, and so clothes were handmade. They were a lot of time and a lot of effort went into each garment, and so they consequently were very expensive. And it was an investment, clothing was. So with that being said, the best of clothes in those times was made out of wool. Of course, thus shepherds and sheep. And wool is very hard to keep moths away from. How many of you remember mothballs at grandma's house? You don't see much of that anymore. But yeah, the little smelly marble type things that grandma would put in the chest of drawers or in the clothes closets or whatever to keep the moths from devouring the clothes. And they didn't have mothballs in Jesus' day, you see. And so that's what protecting their expensive investment, wool and clothes, that was a difficult thing for them to do. And that's what Jesus is warning about. At that age, you know, it was an important issue. And so that's why he's making the reference of moths corrupting. Also, a great amount of their wealth was tied up in grain. Now, not everybody, but many people, a measurement of wealth was how much grain they were able to lay in store. And if you'll remember the parable of the rich farmer, that remember he talked about tearing down his barns and building larger in order to store all his grain. And of course, Jesus condemned him in the parable for the hoarding those type riches, but that's what's being spoken of there is grain was a measure of wealth. If you able to lay up a great deal of grain for a year, then you were in good shape financially. So with that being said, the word rust there is not what you and I think. Actually, that word rust is used in verse 19 and 20, same Greek word, and it literally means eating up, okay? This is the only place in Scripture that it's actually rendered rust. And so it's really the idea is that of your commodities being eaten up, whether it be being destroyed by mice or worms or insects, mites, weevils. I know firsthand what weevils can do to a bunch of grain. I mean, I deal with that as it is with the things that I feed. They just come in there, and you come in there one day and get a bucket of grain out, and it's light. It's like, it should be heavier than this. And you start feeling through it, the mites, the weevils have gone through and basically devoured, and you just got empty shells. And they do quickly. And so by speaking of moth and rust, just speaking of the moths eating clothing and the crops or grains being devoured, that was a real problem and in those times. And then, of course, there was always the threat of thieves. He says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, neither do thieves break through nor steal. That, of course, thieves goes without explanation. Thieves steal stuff. And so whatever material wealth a person might have had, it was always under the threat of thieves. And if you hid those in your homes, Jesus says that thieves break through and steal. And the reason for that statement is because in our day, what do? They break a window. Or they jimmy a door and come in. In those days, there were many of the homes were earthen homes with mud walls or adobe type walls. And so, unlike today, they didn't go through the window; they just broke through the wall. And that's why he uses the statement of breaking through and stealing. So, by naming these potential threats to our worldly possessions, Jesus is really just driving home a point. That no matter how hard we try to protect treasures, no matter how hard what effort we make to maintain them or hang on to them, they can easily be taken away from us. They can be removed very quickly. And they're things that we might not have ever thought of. And so we're not ever able to hang on to it all. But if we were, if we did manage to scratch and claw and protect all of our possessions throughout life, then we're definitely going to be separated from them by death, either way. So either way, they slip through our hands. And the only treasures that are going to last forever, the treasures in heaven. The only treasures that we can't be separated from are the treasures that are laid up in heaven. If you and I spend our life laying up treasures here on earth, and we hoard and we protect those, and then in the end we're separated from them anyway, that means that we likely didn't lay up much in heaven because we put our focus on those here on earth. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of millionaires that are poor people in heaven, so to speak, as poor as you can be in heaven, I guess. And there are going to be a lot of poor people that are very wealthy in heaven with great deal of rewards. It's just, and the thing about it is there's no do-overs, you see. We have to start thinking about this now, whether we're laying up the appropriate treasures in heaven, our energy and our talents and our time being spent on things that have no security, like material things, or spent or invested, if you will, more than anything, on heavenly things that are completely secure for all eternity. It's an important thing. And so it really all boils down to one thing, and I'll be done. Verse 21, he says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's my text when I preached Treasure's Funeral, if you remember. But what the meaning of that simply is simply saying that where our treasures wind up, that will indicate where our hearts have been, you see. Basically, that's a paraphrase, okay? Where our treasures wind up will tell the story of where our hearts have been. And that's kind of a sobering thing to think about. I'll tell you, this study in itself was sobering to me in preparing it. Just thinking about the wasted time and energy and talent and this, that, and the other on stuff that don't make a hill of beans and won't even be known in eternity. So I hope it's a reminder to each of us to take the appropriate steps to balance. Don't go home and say, "I got to get rid of all this stuff. Brother Chris said it's wrong to have it." No, sir, I didn't say that at all. I hope you prosper and do very well. And I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and you get $1 million in your stocking, okay? But balance between treasures and what you have here on earth and treasures in heaven. Hold that balance, okay? Appreciate you. I will expect you to tithe on that $1 million, okay? All right. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. So glad you were here tonight. Again, I'll just explain why we had a Wednesday night right before Christmas like this. It's been such a long year and trying to get everything built back up. I just didn't want to lose our momentum, especially with our kids, but also with all of you guys. And so that's why we kind of stuck to the grind. And I don't think we're hurt by it at all. So let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Jerry, will you lead us in prayer, please?